Rolling on tests, onward bays, the beginning of the third panic. So now we're going to continue. We're continuing talking about the Kohen Mashiach, the anointed Kohen Gadol, and the dinim of his power that we started in the previous parak, and also the king. We're going to finish off those dinim of the when they bring their special korbanos, and then talk about certain other details about the dinim of a Kohen Mashiach and various other related topics. So the Mishnah starts off, Kohen Mashiach Shachata. Suppose the Kohen Mashiach sinned in the way that we've described so far that would make him chayev his par. There was a helam dover, he had made a mistake in passing halacha, and there was shigas maisa, afterwards he followed it, and it was only part of a mitzvah, etc., all the criteria that we've talked about in the last couple of prakim. V'achakach ovamim shichusay. And then he left his Mashiachness. In other words, basically, he stopped being Kohen Gadol. Now, that could be, for example, that he developed a mum. It could be, for example, that he was removed from his position. So we could be talking about that he had a mum. It can be, for example, that we can talk about later on. If the regular Kohen Gadol became Tomei, and then he needed a substitute temporarily, for example, for Yom Kippur, and then afterwards, after Yom Kippur, he's Tohar again, so he's able to resume office, and now this one is the Kohen, is Ovam Mishichosei. So you have a couple of different possibilities. Later on, the Gemara implies that we're talking about somebody who is capable of still doing the Avodah, in which case it can't mean that he has a mum or whatever, unless it was a temporary mum over. The Rambam actually says that the Rambam actually refers this halacha also to the case where he has a mum or he's too old or whatever. And then Nosa Kalim and the Rambam deal with why he learns the Gemara that way specifically, why he learns the Mishnah that way specifically. Anyway, whatever. The point is that he was Kohen Gadol and now he's not Kohen Gadol anymore. But when he had done the Aveira, he was the anointed Kohen Gadol. V'chein Nosi Shechota, in the same way, if the Nosi, the king, sinned, v'achakach ova migdulose, and then he left his greatness, he got saras, for example, like we talked about yesterday, or he was deposed for some other reason. Nevertheless, Kohen Mashiach may be par, but Nosi may be sir. So nonetheless, though, even though now they're not in office anymore, they still bring the Kohen Gadol, the par, and if it was the Nosi, the male goat, same as if they were still in office. So that's when they did the sin while they were still in office. So we're going to talk about later on that not everybody agrees to this, but so far that's we're going to see soon Reb Shimon has a different opinion on the subject. But anyway, so far this is what the Tanakhama is saying. On the other hand, Mashiach she'ovam mishichosei va'achakachota. On the other hand, if first the Kohen Gadol left office. And then he sinned. So by the time he did the sin, he's already not a Kohen Gadol. He's not an anointed Kohen Gadol anymore. Or he's still anointed, but he's not serving as Kohen Gadol anymore. V'chein ha'nosi she'ovam migdulosei va'achakachota. Or the king was deposed or unable to serve because of tzaras or whatever. And then sin, well then, Kohen Mashiach may be par, then there's going to be a difference. The Kohen Mashiach is still going to bring a par, v'anossi kehediot, however the Nossi is going to be like a regular person, and he's going to bring a female sheep or female goat for his korban. Really, the v'chein doesn't really belong over here, because he was saying that there is a difference between them. The Rosh says, just because since the first part of the Mishnah said v'chein, then the second part uses v'chein as well, even though in fact there is a difference between them. And the idea behind it being, in other words, it's one thing once they, it's one thing the Kohen Gadol was anointed, his anointing, the Rambam explains in Pirush HaMishnayos, the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with Shemana Mishcha, that Kedusha remains with him. So even if he's not actually serving as Kohen Gadol now, even whether he can't, or whether the original holder of the office resumed office and now he was just a temporary substitute, the fact remains, he was anointed with the Shemana Mishcha, And therefore, he still has something special over everybody else. As opposed to the king, the point of a king is that he's acting as king. He has leadership. If he doesn't have it anymore, then, and most kings, as we're going to learn in the Gemara in the next couple of days, are usually not anointed, because usually a king is anointed only if there was a machloikas over his kingship, as we have a few examples in history. Then his specialty derives from his power. He doesn't have the power anymore, so therefore he's now considered like a commoner.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, So if the Mishnah says Hashta Yeshloima Ovam Mishachose, you're telling me that even if the Kohen Gadol had left office, Vahaka Chota, and then he sinned, maybe power, and that then he brings a power do you need to tell us that if he sinned while he was still in office and later on he left office, that he should have to bring the power? Isn't that obvious? It seems obvious if the Mishnah is telling us the Kohen Mashiach, regardless, is always bringing the power. Why even mention the case where he sinned while he was still in office and then he left office? If we see from the Sefer that even if he left office and then did it, then he's still chayev in that special korban and the power, and we can make an easy kavachoyma from it. So why does the Mishnah need to mention that first case? And the answer is Mishum Dukatoni, Gabi Nosi, Duchi Ovam Yosef, Achakachotah, Kehediot, Kehediot Maisi, because since the Mishnah continues that by Nosi, if he leaves office and then he does the sin, then he brings a korban like a Hediot, so we would have thought the same thing. So therefore, Ba'ahochi, Toni, Gabi Mashiach, Chotah, Achakach Ovar, maybe Par. Therefore, by the Kohen Mashiach, it mentions that if he sinned and then left office, then he means brings the power. So in other words, you're right. There's not really much of a chiddush in it, but we're just bringing it because it goes together with the Nasi. Since the Nasi, there is a difference between the two cases, and therefore both of them had to be mentioned, so therefore it mentioned the Kohen Mashiach in both those cases as well, even though you're right, one of them is not really so necessary. So Rashi points out there are different gyusos over here in the Gemara of what exactly the question was, but that's the idea is basically that whether the Gemara is asking why we needed to be told both those things, and the answer is we really didn't need to be told so much about the Kohen Mashiach, but like this we would have but like this together, since it goes together with the Nasi, then that's how it is. Okay. The Gemara says, Minohani Mili. So where do we know this from, Taka? That the Kohen Gadol brings the power regardless of whether he was in office at the time that he did the Aveira or not. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says about the power of Kohen Mashiach, the Hikriv al Chatosai. It says he should offer because of his sin. From this we learn that he brings his korban, his special chatos, his power, even if he had already left office. Because the Gemara is only quoting the words v'hikrav al chatosai, but because it also continues asher chata, that he sinned, implying as long as at some point he sinned after he was anointed, then it doesn't matter when it was, and he's bringing the korban. Why do we need to say this? Because you could have argued that it's not so. We could have made a kavachomer. Nosi, a king who brings his special chatas with shigigas maisa alone. For him, as we've been talking all along, you don't need halam dover. You don't need that there was a mistake in paskening halacha. And nevertheless, ein mevi chatosim ishaavar. And yet he doesn't bring his special chatos if he sinned after he left office, like we said. So you would think Mashiach she'in mevi b'shigas ma'isa elal helam dovrim shigas ma'isa. Well then, the Kohen Mashiach does not bring his korban for shigas ma'isa only. For him, there needs to be helam dover as well, as we talked about in the last two prakim. So therefore, loy kol shekein. How much more so? You could argue that maybe, in other words, the Torah is telling us there's less there's less of an opportunity for him to bring his power, because it's only when you have Hell and Dover, unlike Raya King. So if the Torah is limiting when he brings his power, then you should think Raya Kavachoymer should also limit and say that he doesn't bring it if he's not actually in office right now. Therefore, Talmud Lomer, Vehikra V'Achatase, therefore, that is why the Pasuk says, Vehikra V'Achatase, to tell you that it's not so. Malamed Shemevi Achatase, Misha Ovar, it means that he brings his Chatas even after he already left office. Okay, so that's how we know. So the Gemara asks, well, once we do that, once we've already established that the Kohen, so now that we've established based on that pasuk that the Kohen Gadol brings regardless, so now we should turn that Kavachomer around and learn the other way around from it for the king. The Nisi Nami Nasi, the Kavachomer. Well, then why don't we bring in the Nasi from a Kavachomer and say the other way around that he should always be bringing his sir, whether he's actually in office now or not. You could argue, Umma Mashiach saying maybe Bashirias Maisa, Madach of Kohen Mashiach, who doesn't bring for Shirias Maisa alone, for him you need Helam Dover, nevertheless, maybe Chatas Misha Ovar, nevertheless, we see, even though in one way the Torah is limiting the scope of when he brings his Chatas, namely only when there's Helam Dover plus Shirias Maisa, nevertheless, on the other hand, it's broadening it and saying that he brings it even if he did the Aveda after he left office, Nasi Shemevi Chatas Bashirias Maisa, so the Menosi, where there's more chances for him to bring the Chatas, because for him all you need is Shigas Meise. Ein Adin Shemevi Chatasai Mishavar. Shouldn't it be a Kavachomer that he should be bringing his Chatas even after he left office? So why indeed does our Mishnah say that it's not so, and that he doesn't bring his Chatas if he did the Aveda after he left office, and instead he brings a commoner's Chatas? And the answer is no. Tamad Lamasha Nasi Yachta. That is why the pasuk says that the Nasi does the sin, from which we learn, since it says Asher Nasi Yachta, true Nasi Ain, true Hediot Loy, that this rule applies only if he sinned while he was a Nasi, not if he did it while he was a Hediot. How exactly the Jerusha works, one possibility, the fact is the Torah had to say that the word Nasi Yechta, because otherwise how are we going to say the din? So one possibility is just the very fact that the Torah is calling him a Nasi implies that right now he's in office as a Nasi. The other possibility is maybe it's learning from the word asher. Later on, the Gemara is going to darshan a drasha, a lesson that we can learn from it, a hurrah that we can learn from it, the fact that it says asher and not im, but on the halacha level, we can say that the fact that it says asher nasi yechta, that the nasi sins rather than im, means that only if he's actually the nasi right now, when he does the aveda. Okay, so that results in the din that we said in the Mishnah, that if he sinned while he was in office and then he left office, then he's bringing the korban regardless. We're going to see soon Reb Shimon disagrees. But if they did it after they left office, the kohen, so three out of the four cases, in other words, so that when you have the king kohen gadol did the aveda in office and then left office, or did it after they left office, in three of those four cases they're bringing their special korban, and the odd one out is the king, where if he leaves office and then does the Aveda, then he brings a commoner's korban. Okay. The Mishnah continues. How about the other way around? Chotu ad shalonis manu. What happens the other way around, each of them, the Kohen Gadol and the king, if they did the Aveda before they were appointed? Va'achatach nismanu. And then they were appointed before they brought their chatas. Then they're treated like a hediot, like a regular person. Then they bring a regular person's korban, a female sheep or a female goat, because the fact is that the actual aveira itself was done while they were before they were kohen gadol or before they were king. Reb Shimon says it depends. Im noda lahem ad shelo nismanu. If they found, Reb Shimon says it's not just a matter of the chet. He says you also have to consider when they found out about it. Im noda lahem ad shelo nismanu. If they realize their mistake before they were appointed chayovim, then they're going to be chayev to bring a regular person's korban. But if they only found out after they were appointed, says Reb Shimon, then they're completely potter from bringing the korban, because according to him, you have to look at the time when they did the Aveda and the time when they found out about it. Which means, Rashi says, Reb Shimon would argue with the first Mishnah as well. He would say that if the Kohen Gadol or the Nasi sinned while they were in office and then they left office, not necessarily would it be like the Tanakhama had said that they would bring the special korban regardless. It would depend when the Yediyah happened. When did they find out that they did the Aveda? So Reb Shimon would require that both things happen while he's Kohen Gadol, or both things happen while he's king. And if not, then Reb Shimon says they would be completely potter. They wouldn't bring their special korban, but they wouldn't bring a commoner's korban either. The Mishnah continues. A zehu nasi. What is the definition of nasi? Now, nasi, you know, can a lot of times you have the nasi of a shevet, but here it doesn't mean that. Here it means the actual king, as the Gemara is going to explain eventually how we know that that's so, how we know that nasi over here means, well, actually the Mishnah is going to say it briefly, and the Gemara is going to elaborate on exactly how we darshan it. So we touched on this yesterday. A zehu nasi zemelach means the king. Shenema, she nasi yechta, shenema, we call mitzvah, Hashem alekov, as the pasuk says, that he violates any of the mitzvahs of Hashem, his God, she'ein al gabav el Hashem alekav. That phrase means that there's no one above him in the government other than Hashem, his God, so that could only be a king. There's a lot of places in Torah where it says Hashem alekecha, Hashem alekav, or whatever, and we don't doubt in that way. Eventually the Gemara is going to say that we actually have a gzeira shava on it. So the Gemara starts off, Menohani Mili, how do we know the din of the first part of the Mishnah, that if they did the Aveda before they were appointed, and now they're king or Kohen Gadol respectively, that they still bring the commoner's korban, and that according to the Tanakhama, it depends strictly on when they did the Aveda, and it doesn't matter when they found out about it. So the Tanan Abanam, we learn in Braisa, the pasuk says Ima Kohen Mashiach Yechta LaAshmas. If the Kohen Mashiach, so LaAshmas is not really needed over here. That's going to be a different drasha, but it is. It does belong over here. It's actually part of the drasha. Ima Kohen Mashiach Yechta LaAshmas. The pasuk says that the Kohen Mashiach sins when he's a and is guilty when he is Kohen Mashiach. So that comes to exclude a case where he did the Aveda before he was ever appointed. Now, the reason why we need to say this is because otherwise you might have thought, Tosfos elsewhere points out that Sheyochol would mean I would have thought otherwise, and Valodinu, on the contrary, means can't we learn that by a Kabachomer? And here we have, we just had before, and we have over here the expression Sheyochol Valodinu, so it seems it seems unnecessary. It should be one or the other. On the other hand, the Be'er Sheva says, every time when the Gemara has that expression, you can say over and over, the copyist made the same mistake. No, it means that you need to be told it, because otherwise you would have thought to use a kavachomer differently. You would have thought to use a kavachomer and say differently, like we said before, about making a kavachomer from the nasi. Or ma nasi shemeiv v'shigras ma'aser, ma doch the nasi who brings only based on shigras ma'aser alone is enough to make him bring his korban. A maybe ala kodmus. He does not bring for something that he did before he became king, as we're going to talk about soon. How do we know that? So you would think Mashiach Shein Mevi Ela Al Helam Dovrim Shigras Ma'isa. So again, the Kohen Gadol, where it's more restricted when he brings his korban, there has to be Helam Dover and Shigras Ma'isa. So you would think Ein Adin Shlo Yovi Al Kodmus. So it should be a Kavachomer that he doesn't bring a special korban for the things that he did earlier. So why does the pasuk then have to tell us what the words Makoyim Mashiach Yachta LaAshmas, and we would learn from that Prat LaKodmin? Couldn't we use a simple Kavachomer like that to learn that concept? And the answer is loy, not necessarily, because it's not the same thing. Imamauta benosi, because you know what? It's one thing you could talk about by the nosi, shakein ein mevi chatosei mishavar, because as we established before, he doesn't bring his korban, his special korban, after he was deposed from office either. How do you compare then? How would you think to compare to a Kohen Gadol who we just said that even after he leaves office, if he had done the Aveda while he was in office, then he still brings the korban? So fakir. Hoyol given that he brings his chatos even after he left office, you would think Yovi Achala Kodmas, maybe Fakert, it would mean that he always brings it even if he did the Avera before he became Kohen Gadol. So we would say, in other words, maybe the rule would be the Kohen Gadol, it doesn't matter whether he's in office now or not, so therefore it doesn't matter what came first, the Avera or the appointment, as opposed to the king, since already we see that he doesn't bring it after he leaves office. So then fine, it's more logical to say that he doesn't bring it before he assumes office, before he becomes king either. So you would think, so not necessarily, you wouldn't make such a kavachomer, you would say, okay, the rules for the Kohen Gadol, as far as the time span in which he brings it, are more expansive. So Talmud Loima, so because of that is why the Pasuk has to say a Mashiach Yechta, the Mashiach Sin, which means Chotek Shu Mashiach, maybe, which means that he brings the special korban, the power, only if he did the Avera while he was the Mashiach and not beforehand. But not if he did it when he was still a common Kohen before he became Kohen Gadol. So that results in the din of our Mishnah that he doesn't bring it unless he did the Aveda after he became Kohen Gadol. So fine, you're going to say then that in the Kohen Gadol's lifetime, before he was anointed, he's considered like a commoner. Once he's anointed, then fine, he retains that status for the rest of his life and would continue to bring the power. As opposed to the king, we're saying would be only once he becomes king and only as long as he's acting as king. Okay, so the Gemara of the Tanya Nami Gami Nosi Kihai Gavna, we find a very similar braisa about the Nosi, how we establish the details of when he brings and when he doesn't. So we learn a similar braisa. The Pasuk says Asher Nosi Yechta. The Pasuk says that the Nosi sins Prat LeKodmus, and again Nosi Yechta suggests that he does the Avera when he is Nosi, not beforehand. So it means as opposed to ones that he did before he became appointed as Nosi. And again Shal Yochov Aloy Dinu. Now on the face of it, we could have argued differently with the Kavach Chaimer. We could have said Ma Mashiach Shemevi Chatosay Mishaover Ma Dachakoyin Mashiach, who brings his special korban, his power, even after he was deposed from office. Ainim maybe ala koidmas. Nevertheless, as we just said, we learned from the pasuk that he does not bring for an aveda that he did before he was appointed Kohen Gadol. Nosi shein maybe chatosim ishaover ainim din shalo yavi ala koidmas. So then the nosi who doesn't bring it for something, the nosi who doesn't bring his korban after he leaves office, how much more so that he wouldn't bring it for ones earlier? So therefore, we have a kalachomer. Why do we need the pasuk? And the answer is again malakoyin malamashiach shekainim maybe b'shigas ma'ase. But how do you compare though? The fact is, Kohen Mashiach has a special feature in that he brings only when there's Helam Dover with Shigas Maisa. So there's a greater restriction on the circumstances in which he brings it. Toma Benossi Shemevi B'Shigas Maisa. So how do you compare it to the Nossi, who after all you need for him is Shigas Maisa, like any regular commoner, to bring the korban? So then you could argue Hoyol or maybe B'Shigas Maisa Yovi Ala Kodmas. So maybe given that he's bringing for Shigas Maisa only, maybe he should bring the special korban even for anything he did before he was appointed king. So we wouldn't know, Taka. We can't use that kavachomer. Talmud Lomar, Asher Nosi Yechta. That is why the Torah uses the expression Asher Nosi Yechta means Shechotav Areyu Nosi. So it teaches us that only if he sinned when he was a Nosi, V'lo Shechotav Areyu Hedyet, not when he sinned when he was still a Hedyet. So therefore, by him, there's the korban only if it happened while he was king and not before and not after. So that results in our din that we said that the king brings his korban not for anything he did before, his special korban, not for anything he did before he became king, and not for anything that he does after he leaves office. Okay. So now let's focus on that phrase Asher Nosi Yechta, and let's talk about that. The word Asher Nosi Yechta literally means that the Nosi sins. So it almost makes it sound like it's a requirement. The Nosi must sin and bring this korban. Otherwise, we'd say im, which is the usual word for if. So that's the braisa that says, Tana Rabbanan, Asher Nosi Yechta, Yocho Gzeira. You would think that establishes a Gzeira, like almost like it's a requirement, or not even a requirement, an inevitable thing. Maybe you would say it's inevitable that the Nosi is going to sin, and therefore the Torah uses the word Asher for it. So you would think otherwise it would have said im. Talmud Lema, no, therefore, earlier the Pasuk says in that parent, ima kohen mashiach yachta, if the kohen mashiach sins, so therefore we learn malahalan l'chshiyachta, afkan l'chshiyachta. So the same way as there, it doesn't mean that he necessarily is going to do it. It means if he does it, then here are the rules. So the same way by the king, even though it uses the word asher, it doesn't mean that it's inevitable and it's going to happen. It just means that if it happens. Why it uses the word asher, we'll talk about later on. Der Sheva, by the way, says another point as well. Maybe the Gemara is darshining not from the word asher, but from the word yechta. Yechta means he will sin. So then in that case, maybe it's almost like nasi yechta. The nasi is inevitably going to sin. So therefore, no, we see by ima koyin mashiach yechta, and there the Torah clearly says that it's only a contingency if he does. So the same way we can understand by the king also it means that as well. Okay, I mean, there are Musa Zoggers who say that it kind of does, that it is kind of hinting that it is almost inevitable that a king, because of his great power, is more likely to slip up. But at least from the point of view that the Gemara is saying, we're saying it's not necessarily so, but if he does, then here is the rules. So that's the Gemara says Omer Mar Yochel Gzeira. So we said in the Braisa you would think that it's a Gzeira that he's going to sin. The Gemara says Gemara Gzeira Mehechitesi. Where is this supposed to be just Gzeira for? The Eivishter doesn't decide who's going to do good and who's going to do bad. Tzadik V'Rosh Aloy Kamar. So where would we ever find that there's a Gzeira that necessarily somebody is going to do an Avera? And the Gemara says, Amri. So they said, Ashkechon, Dichtiv. You find it says by Tzaras, Nasati Nega Tzaras, Veis Eretz Achuzaschem. Hashem says, I will place a plague of Tzaras in the houses that you inherit, in the land of your inheritance, which means, Besuri Hilahem, Shenigoyim Boyim Aleim, Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that it means that Hashem is telling them in advance that Tzaras is going to come on them. So Rashi mentions on the famous thing that it means that the Amorim hid treasures in the walls and they're going to find the treasures, etc. But the point is, we see that there's a Gzera, inevitably this is going to happen, even though on the face of it, it's something no good. So therefore, you can say the same thing. That's Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, no, we darshan from the words, V'nasati Negat Saras, Prat Nigay Oinsin, it comes to exclude Negoyim that come by Oinus. What do we mean by oinus? Rashi says, for example, if it comes, let's say, for example, by a shed getting involved over here and blowing on the wall, then Rav Shimon says that wouldn't make the house tummy. So according to him, it's not necessarily the Torah is telling you it's going to happen, just telling you v'nasati negat tzaras means it has to come directly min hashamayim and not, for example, that a shed got involved. So the Gemara says, therefore, lav omer of Yehuda besura. So here, Rabbi Yehuda is telling them that it's news. It's telling them in advance that something bad is going to happen. Tzaras in their houses. Hochanami ema gzera. Gzera. He also, you would have argued that it is a gzera. And that it's inevitably going to happen that the Nasi is going to sin. Here's where the Rosh brings in that point about them finding the treasures in the walls. The fact remains, though, the Be'er Sheva says, listen, the bottom line is it's still not such a good thing. So you see that the Torah sometimes is telling you in advance that necessarily something bad is going to happen. Here you would have thought that Hilchot Siv Im, and therefore it has to say the word Im by the Kohen Gadol, to tell us that not. So that is why we have earlier ima koyin mashiach yachta, and therefore it just means if he sins. So the same way by the king, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's necessarily so, and therefore it means if he does, then here is the rules, but not necessarily that it's going to be so. So this is all the Be'er Sheva says that the Gemara is basically at. So according to Rashi, then the question is, where do we see the Torah tells us in advance something bad that's going to happen? And the answer is we would by Negoyim, and therefore, since in order to stress that by the Nasi, we're not saying it's necessarily going to happen, is why it says Ima Koyin Mashiach. The Be'er Sheva says the question was really about the question is really about Bechira Chofshis. A person has Bechira Chofshis, so why is the Torah saying necessarily he's going to sin? And the answer is, on the face of it, you see the same thing with Tzaras, and therefore we're saying that not. So there is actually the Mitzvah Esam points out something else. You know, the Rambam, when he deals with the whole matter of the Chiruch Chofshes, he says, listen, you know, and there's many places where the Torah says, for example, if you do such and such, then here's going to be the consequences for the Jewish people, like the Torah in this week's parasha. And you have, for example, Hashem said the Jewish people are going to be enslaved in Mitzrayim and other examples like that. So the Rambam explains one thing is that Hashem is saying, you know, among an entire nation, there's likely to be some Rishoyim. That doesn't mean that any individual is being told you're going to be a Rosha. Just means, Dauke Shaloylam, is that among a large group of people like that, there's going to be the same way. Hashem is saying it's likely that you're going to do such and such. I'm not necessarily saying that you're going to. You have the choice to do differently. So the same way over here, in other words, the Gemara was saying that maybe the Torah is saying, when you consider, of course, all the kings who are ever going to rule over the Jewish people, it's highly likely, just statistically, that at least one of them is going to do the Aveda. But we're saying that's not even what the Torah is saying. It's just saying it's perfectly conceivable that all the kings who rule over the Jewish people are all tzaddikim and none of them ever do any such avedas. Okay. Fine. Let's analyze Reb Shimon's opinion about nigei oinsin. We just said that he said if a nega came because of an oinus, for example, as Rashi had said, because of a shed blowing on the wall, then it's not considered tzaras. So the question is, Ol Reb Shimon nigei oinsin milei metamu? You're telling me according to Reb Shimon nigei oinsin are not metame? V'hotanya, but we learn in another braisa. When it talks about sarasa people, it says odam kiyi, a man if there will be. So from that we learn min adibur ve'elach. So yiyah is in future tense, so it means only from when this is told and on. So if a person had saras before matan Torah, even if, or for that matter with houses, if there was saras before Matan Torah, before Hashem gave this mitzvah, then it would not be matame, then it wouldn't be matame even though it still persists after that. So again, the question is, why do you need a posik to tell us that? Shouldn't you be able to learn that from an easy, obvious kal vachomer? In Parashas Metzora, the Torah tells us that a zov is tamei, and the Torah is telling us that negoyim are tamei. Ma zov min adibur ve'elach, just like a zov is only a zov by definition is only when it's after Hashem said, because again there after Hashem gave the mitzvah, because it says ben ki zov mibsorai, so only if the flow begins after Matan Torah. So again, yiyah there means in future. Af negoyim in adibur ve'elach. So negoyim should be the same thing. There should be no need for the pasuk to also say the word yiyah by negoyim. And the answer is loy. No, you can't make that kavachomer. Imamarta bezov shekein in matame ba'oinus. Because you know what? The difference is by a zov, he doesn't become tame ba'oinus. Namely, you have like this. A person has, first of all, ziva is different than regular shichvas zera. It has a different consistency. It has a slightly different color. The Rambam points out it doesn't come with stimulation and kishui like shichvas zera. Whatever the case, the first time a person has an emission of zivus, it's actually considered like a baal keri. At that point, if nothing else happened, after that, he'd go to the mikveh and he'd be tahor. If that day or the next day he has another flow, then already he's considered a zav. But then he's not tameh with zivus unless we first check and find what the circumstances are that caused it. You could have, for example, he might have overeaten or overdrank. He could have been hit. So the Mishnah actually in Masechta Zavim mentions seven things that we check whether any of those happened to him, and only then is he going to be Tomei. This was a few days ago in Shloisha Prakim of Rambam as well, went through all these details. Rashi points out, again, another point is you could have a shed that caused him to become a Zav, and then we would say it's not. Then it's considered like another emission of Keri, and he just has to go to the mikvah and have a head of Shemesh, and that's that. So a Zav doesn't become Tomei Ba'onis. It has to be that the ziva came completely spontaneously. So therefore, Tomei b'negoyim, shematamin b'oinus, how do you compare to negoyim of a person or of houses where they do become tomei even b'oinus? So this braisa is saying that negoyim are matamin b'oinus, not like Reb Shimon. So, the Gemara could have answered, of course, that this braisa is not necessarily like Reb Shimon, but the Gemara is going to give a different answer. Anyway, Tamad Lema, Adam Kiyah, therefore, the Pasuk says, uses this word year. Mina dibur ve'elach means only the negoyim that happen after Matan Torah. Anyway, so the point is, so you see from this v'raisa that nige onus are metame, whereas before Rav Shimon had said that are metame, and therefore you need the Torah to tell you the word year, that nevertheless they take effect only after Matan Torah, as opposed to and before Rav Shimon had said that not nige onus are not metame. So the Gemara answers, Rava Amar Prat Nigad Ruchus. Because the difference is, because there's different kinds of oinus. We're not saying anymore that Nigay Odom could be brought by a shed or something like that. When we say nige oinsin, we mean, for example, that a person fell down and injured himself, and now there's saras over there, or got burnt, and then saras developed over there. So yeah, of course there's trauma in them. The Torah spells out clearly that a person had an injury, and then as the wound is healing, saras develops over there, then he's tame. So that would be considered nige oinsin, but not the, on the other hand, if the saras was called by a shed, then not. So there's a difference between different kinds of onus as opposed to by a zav. No kind of onus makes him a zav, because by definition it has to be that we do check out, did he overeat, did he overdrink, did he have thoughts, did he have hirurim of things that would cause him to be stimulated, etc. So that's the difference, says Rava. Rapapa, I'm a proper nigga chuffing. Rapapa says, no, another possibility, it doesn't have to be shadim, but it could be, for example, Rav Shimon is saying, when he says prap the nigga oinsin, he would mean negoyim that are brought about by kishuf. So therefore, again, so he would say, when it comes to houses or when it comes to people, that kind of thing is not metame. And therefore, he was saying before in the Braisa that therefore, he had said, that's why the pasuk says, v'nasati neged saras, to exclude that. Other kinds of onsin would, in fact, other saras that comes by other onsin could in fact be metame, and that would be the second braisa that said that negoyim are metame bonus. So each one, a rover or a papa, is saying there'd be some supernatural thing, a shed or kishuf, respectively, some kind of negative spiritual force that would cause it, as opposed to when it comes spontaneously, or as opposed to when it comes because of other factors. Okay. So that was all one drosha on the words asher nosi yachta. Tanan Abban, we learn in another braisa, asher nosi yachta, again, the pasuk says that the nosi sins, then he brings his korban. Prat l'choila, that comes to exclude, when it says nosi yachta, means as opposed to if he's sick. What do you mean? Since when does a king get deposed because he's sick? What it means is not just any kind of sickness. We mean, speaking of tzaras, we mean that he became a mitzvah. And now, as we learned yesterday, he's not able to function as king anymore. The king, Mitzoras, is a bodad yeshiv mechutz l'machna meyshova. He has to live all by himself outside the machna, so therefore he can't function as king. We touched on yesterday, that's what happened to King Uzziyahu of Yehuda. The pasuk describes how at one point he decided that he should bring ketores to Hashem. In those times, it was a very common thing that the goyish kings would serve as priests for their getches and bring them korbanos. So he got the notion that the same thing should be for a Jewish king as well, and it would be an honor for Hashem to him to do that. He goes into the Beis Hamikdash to offer ketores. The kohenim confront him, try to explain to him, you're a zor, you have no business doing that. He demands to do it anyway, and all of a sudden he gets struck with tzaras, and then he has to get out of there anyway. And he remained a mitzvah for the rest of his life. And his son Yosef was then running the country instead. So that's what we mean. He got saras. Now he can't function as king anymore. So now we're saying that now, actually, as we said before, the king doesn't bring his special korban, his male goat, unless he did the aveda when he was a king. And we find by Uzziyahu, by Naga Hashem as a Melech, Hashem struck him with saras. This pasuk, the Gemara is quoting, is from Malachim. There it doesn't give the details why. It just says almost out of the blue that Hashem struck him with saras. In Divrei Yomim, it gives all the details of what he did and the whole story. Anyway, so by Naga Hashem as a Melech, Hashem struck the king with saras. By him, it's Sarad Yom Moshe. He remained a Metzora until the day of his death. Vayeshev Bevesa Chofshis. He dwelt in the house of Chofshis, which on the face of it, that means the name of the place, but the Gemara is going to explain soon what that means. The Yosam, and another Alabias, and his son Yosam was in charge of the palace. So we see, therefore, so we see that at that point, he's not functioning as king anymore. So therefore, so at that point, if he were to do such an avera that would make him chayav hatas, he would be bringing a commoner's korban and not a king's korban. So now Rashi points out, you know, we learned yesterday about the subject. We learned Rabbi Yossi Aglili had said that that a king, because a king never becomes poor, because he always has the resources of becoming king. Because he always has the resources of as a king, so therefore, so Rabbi Yosef Aglili had said that we learn from that, therefore, that he doesn't bring a korban or the viyoded, because in other words, there's a difference whether he has the treasury at his disposal or not. Well, then, even when he's a mitzvah, he still has the treasury, is still at his disposal, even if he can't actually act as king right now. So Rashi points out that our brice over here would apparently be not like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, the Tosfos HaRosh says not necessarily. Rabbi Yosef Aglili was talking about a korban or the viyoded, because there it depends on the person's finances. When it comes to the chatas of a nasi, Rabbi Yosef Aglili might well agree that he brings it only when he's in office and not when he left office for any reason, even if in this case he still has access to the treasury. So the Gemara says, so what's this expression, Beveis HaChofshis? Beveis HaChofshis literally means the house of the free one. Like you have an Eved Ivri goes Chofshi, goes free. So the word Chofshis would mean like the house of freedom. So what does that mean? That would imply that until now the king was a servant. And in a way, yes, because now, until now he was busy with everything for the he was in charge. But on the other hand, it's really a form of abdus, because he has the responsibility of the tzibur on him. and the Gemara says, yeah, as we have a story that illustrates that point. Ki hodid Rav Gamliel v'Rav Yeshua have azli b'sfinta. One time it happened, Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua were traveling together on a ship. Bahadi did Rav Gamliel have a pita? Rav Gamliel had along with him bread for the trip. But how did Rabbi Yeshua have a pita besulta? Rabbi Yeshua took along not only bread, but he also took along flour. Sulta really is solus, is fine flour, whatever. Rashi points out, this way it would keep longer. Baked bread is going to spoil a lot faster than it is going to spoil a lot faster than flour. There ended up being a delay in the trip. The trip ended up taking longer than necessary. Sholim pita did Rav Gamliel. Eventually, Rav Gamliel's bread ran out. Sama chasulta did Rav Yeshua, and he had to rely on flour to eat until he's able to restock. Amalei, so Rav Gamliel tells him, "Mi have a yadis to have a lani kuba kolahai? Did you know in advance that we're going to end up having such a delay that asis sulta, that you brought along flour? How do you know?" To bring along extra supplies? Amalei, Rabbi Yeshua answers, Koichav Echad L'Shivim Shana Oila, there's a certain star that rises once every 70 years, Umaseh, a spinner, so a saponim, and it causes the ships or the sailors to go astray. Like this, the sailors are looking at the North Star, they're looking at the pattern of stars in the sky, all of a sudden, once in 70 years, the star comes, and therefore it mixes them up, and it makes them think that they're going in a certain direction. And like this, they're looking at what they think is the North Star, and instead they see it in a different direction, and they start, and they go wrongly. Some people argue, now you have Halley's Comet appears once every 75 years or so, give or take, so some want to say that maybe Rabbi Yeshua is referring to Halley's Comet. Scientists discovered only in the 1600s, 1700s, that it's periodic, that it comes back every 75, 76 years, so according to that, the point would be that Rabbi Yeshua knew that long in advance, a couple of thousand years before that. With that said, it may not work so much with the Seder Azman. There was an appearance of it, which was during Rabbi Yeshua's lifetime, about 4 years before Chorban Bayis Sheni, but maybe you would have to say then that this trip maybe took place at that time. Maybe not. Anyway, V'amarti. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I thought to myself, Shema Yale, it might come up during this time. Yasa Isanu, it might come during our trip and cause the sailors who are steering our boat to go wrong. So therefore, I made sure to take extra provisions. Omalei, said Rabbi Gamliel, says to Rabbi Yeshua, kol kach biyodcha, you have such tremendous chokhma with you, v'ata ola v'sfina, and you have to go on ships to go and get parnasa. Marshall points out, I mean, Rabbi Gamliel was also on the ship. Fine, Rabbi Gamliel, you could say, was a Nazi, so he's going to be mevatel some gzera against the Jewish people. But you weren't going for that purpose. So what makes it that with all your chokhmah that you're apparently so poor that you have to go and travel on a ship to find parnasa? Omalei, so Rabbi Yeshua answers him, Ad sha'ata tamei alai, instead of being surprised at me, tamei al shnei talmidim sheyesh l'chobay yabasha, be surprised at yourself about two talmidim that you have on dry land, who didn't come with us on this boat, Rabbi Lozer Chisma v'Rabbi Yechanim and Gudgada. They're so wise, sheyodin l'shayah kamatipas yesh bayam. They would be able to evaluate and to give you a number how many drops of water there in the sea. The inland pass lech over like beggar milvish, and they don't even have bread to eat or clothing to wear. So you're thinking that I'm so poor, they're even poorer, and they're great chachamim as well. So you need to pay attention to what's going on with the chachamim and realize that some of them are poor and they need parnasa. The Rosh brings from the Ramah another point as well. It means not just because you're poor. So first of all, he says, so what? The Pasuk says that not always are wise people so smart. And you have plenty of people who are rich and go on ships. Maybe Rabbi Shua is going on the ship because he has merchandise with him. He's saying you know so much about, for example, about the stars and other things about how the sea works. Then in that case, then why are you going on the ship? In other words, so it's not so much a matter of you have so much knowledge, but in other words, the idea seems to be if you realize how dangerous it can be on ships, then why are you even going on one in the first place? So he says, you know what? The fact is, you have these chachamim who, again, their chokhmah is not helping them to be able to even make the slightest bit of a living. Do something about that. Anyway, Kshaolah, so when Rabbi Gamliel came back to dry land, Sholach Lahem, he sent a message for them to come to him. But they didn't want to come because Rabbi Gamliel was saying in the message that he wants to offer them positions of leadership. And they didn't want because of their anivus. They didn't want to accept such positions. So he sent them other messengers. Uvo, this time they came. And he tells them, you're thinking that I'm giving you a position of leadership, and that's why you don't want that, because you are Novim. You should know, what I'm actually offering you is slavery, is being enslaved and then made to work on behalf of the Jewish people. Because again, you're going to have great responsibilities for the Jewish people. As we find in the Pasuk, we find after Shlomo passed away, his son Rechavam is going to take over as king. The people come to him and say, you know, the burdens of taxation and forced labor and everything were very heavy for all of Shlomo's building projects. Go easier on us. So he tells them, let me think about it. And so he says, first, the Pasuk says that he spoke with his elder advisors by Dabru Elav Lemo, and they spoke to him, and they said to him, if today you will be an Eved to these people, now what do you mean? He's not going to be their Eved, he's going to be their king, but in other words, the point is he's going to have tremendous responsibilities towards them, and in that sense, he's an Eved. So therefore, so Rav Gamliel was telling these Chachamim, Rav Lozer Chisma, and Rav Yechim and Gudgada, the same thing, what I'm offering you, on the face of it, it looks like leadership, but you should realize that under the hood, it's really hard work on behalf of the Jewish people. Mao Shan has a long symbolic explanation of what's going on over here. For one thing, he says, if we're talking about a star that Rabbi Yeshua knows reappears once every 7 years, whether it's Halley's Comet, whatever it is, he shouldn't be saying it might come up. It will come up. I know the period of it, and I know that it's going to. And he has several other questions on Rashi, one of them again being the same question that the Raman, the Rosh have, so what, that he's wise. That doesn't necessarily mean that because of that he's going to be able to find Parnassah. So Mao Shor explains symbolically like this. What happened was that, first of all, going through Golos, our experience in Golos is compared to going in a ship. We learned back in Baba Basra, we had the whole Agada of Rav Baba Chana, with many stories of being on a ship and the various dangers that a person faces. So being in Golos is compared to being on a ship. So now what happened was they were going on the ship of Golos. They were being forced to argue with minim of their time, Talmidim of Oysa Ish. Rabbi Yeshua, in particular, we find in many places in Shas and in Midrashim, was doing that. He had the particular skill among the Chachamim of being able to refute their arguments. So now we're saying that Rabbi Gamliel had with him bread, representing the Chochmah of Torah. Rabbi Yeshua had with him also not only the Chochmah of Torah, he had flour, which refers to other kinds of Chochmas. He says the idea is you can't eat flour by itself, but you can use it to make bread, the same way other kinds of Chochmas and sciences and philosophies and whatnot are a prerequisite for Torah, but you can't live off them. So now what happened was Rabbi Gamliel's bread ran out, meaning that he ran out of arguments to be able to refute the minim. So he wasn't able to refute them and beat them. So he had to rely on Rabbi Yeshua's flower representing that he had to ask Rabbi Yeshua to help him with other arguments from other areas from areas of knowledge outside of Torah to refute them. So then how do you know we're going to be in this situation? So he tells him this one star comes up, the one star that comes up once every 70 years, Mao Shor says, hints at an individual person. An individual's lifespan is usually 70 years. So it means, in other words, that so you have all us ships of Jews are being tossed around in the Sea of Golos, and you have that there's this one man who's Talmidim, these guys are, Yoshka, where he didn't live to be 70, he was killed at a much younger age, but the point is, in other words, symbolically, he's a person of 70, because a person's average lifespan is 70, maybe he's going to come up. In other words, maybe his influence is going to be so powerful that we're all going to go astray, Chas v'Shalom. He's going to cause us all to go astray, so I knew, therefore, that I have to be well prepared for them with Chochmas of almost the Olam as well, to be able to beat them. So Rabbi Gamliel says
isn't that a strong argument of Rabbi Yeshua's to have also a secular education to be able to answer these people?
If you're Rabbi Yeshua and you're in that position, yes, but not necessarily everybody is in that. Not everybody is in that position. Consider, for example, you know, let's say, for example, in our times, the Rebbe was very against this whole idea of interfaith debates and all of that. He gives special permission to Emmanuel Shochat, Tzal V'Shalom, to do that. The average person doesn't necessarily need this, to use the metaphor of the Gemara, this flower of Chochmas and L'Sa'olam, for this purpose, because just don't get involved with debates with them in the first place.
No, it's not about debate, of course. But I'm saying it more on a general sense, regardless of you know, religious debates, that Jews should have not only a knowledge of Torah, but they should know the 70 languages of the nations,
not necessarily. If a person needs it for Parnosa, or if a person needs it for Afatzah Samayones, is fine. But it's not an end in itself. As Mao Shor is saying over here, it's like flour. You can't eat flour. You can use it as a prerequisite for bread. But so if to the extent that a person can use it to help him understand Torah and to be able to be a better Yid, then fine. But it's not an end in itself.
But look at the example of Yosef. I mean, he knew 70 languages.
He knew 70 languages when Malachim came and taught it to him. When you or I have Malachim coming and teaching us, then we can talk. Okay, whatever. This really isn't the place for. We don't really have time. We've only just gotten to Ahmed Bey's and we have ground to cover. But in any case, the point is that there is room for Chochmas Chitzonius in a Torah lifestyle, but they're not. The Alter Rebbe, for example, points out in Tanya, you know, unlike with Torah, where you're not supposed to make it a spade to dig with, use it as a means of parnasa, with Chochmas Olam HaOlam Davka, to the extent that a person is using it, is supposed to be strictly for that purpose. Or he says, like you have rare figures in Jewish history, like the Rambam and the Ramban and others who delved into them in order to be able to understand the Torah better, and as we're saying over here with Rabbi Yeshua, to be able to refute the Goyim and their arguments. But it's not an end in itself. When it's needed, it's needed. Okay, let's go on. So anyway, so Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, then if you have such chochma, then why are we in Golos in the first place? Why don't you use that chochma to save Yerushalayim? You lived through the Churban. So Rabbi Yeshua says, you know what? Here we have Talmidim who also lived at that time. Rabbi Yechon ben Gudgada, we know from a different Gemara, was a Levi who actually served in the Beis Mikdash. So they were also. So they were also there, and they could even know the number of drops of water in the ocean, and nevertheless they're in Golos. So now they have no parnosa anymore. It was just Rabbi Yeshua was telling him. It was a gzeira min hashamayim that there was a churban, and all of the chochma that we have couldn't have prevented that, and we're going to be on this ship regardless of everybody's chochma. So therefore, that's the metaphor that he's telling him by mentioning these talmidim and saying you should realize chochma or not, that still doesn't the Eivishta have a plan for the world, and there's nothing much, and all we can do is just live with it, and then work to bring the Gulam into Sash Lema. Okay, the Gemara goes on. Turn it up on him. Asher Nosi Yechta. Here's another drasha on these words. Asher Nosi Yechta, that the Nosi sins. Amar Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So now another way of looking at it is we can understand the word Asher as related to the word Ashrei. So, Amar Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Ashrei hadur shan nosi shaloi maybe korban asher gagasei. How fortunate is the generation that the nosi realizes and feels bad about the aveira that he did, and goes and brings a korban for what he did inadvertently. Im nosi shaloi maybe korban sorach ataloi mamauhed. Because now, if the nosi is even willing to go and bring a korban and like go through that public humiliation, that it becomes obvious to everybody that he did an aveira, sorach ataloi mamauhed. Would you need to say how much more so it would be with a head? That he would realize that a hedyot, a commoner, would realize to themselves, you know what, my covet is certainly no greater than that of a king. I should also be willing to fess up when I do something wrong and do tshuva. And the imal shigosim may be korban, and if the king is going to be willing to even bring a korban when he did something inadvertently, even though he could rationalize, yeah, but I didn't mean to, I didn't know it was chaylev, etc. Sorach ataloyma mahu zdonei. Needless to say that he would be motivated to do tshuva when he does something wrong deliberately. So now the fact is that Be'er Sheva says you can't really say that the Osher is for the Nasi himself. The fact is he did an Aveira, but the Osher, the fortunateness, is for the generation that they can learn from him. Maskefla Rava Brei De Rabba, but Rava Brei De Rabba says, you're going to tell me that every time it says Asher means that it means fortunate. Elamayata Dichtiv Ve'es Asher Chotim and Akkadish Shalim. What about the pasuk says, for example, by Me'ila, that which the person took wrongly from Kodesh, he has to pay back for Me'ila, plus a Chomesh. And what about Be'erovam and Nevot Dichtiv, and what about Be'erovam and Nevot Dichtiv Ve'asher Chota Ve'asher Hechti, that he sinned and that he caused the Jewish people to sin? Hachanami de Asher Hadurhu. Are you going to say it means the Asher, that means fortunate? So why are you doubting the Asher over here in that sense? And the answer is shiny hocha, the shiny krobidibure, precisely because the Torah says the wording differently over here, because it would have said so there it says asher, because that's how Lashon Kodesh works. But here the fact is you could have expected it to say im, like it does by the Kohen Mashiach, and like it does by all the other cases. The im koladas Yisrael yishku, the im nefeshachas techta b'shgaga. The king is the third out of four sections over there that deal with a regular chatas. You have the kohen mashiach, you have the parhelam davashal tzibur, you have the nasi, and then you have a regular person. Three out of the four of them, it says the word im. Only by the nasi does it say asher, so therefore that's reason to doubt in it. Whereas by the other ones, by me'ila and by yirav manivot, the Torah is not using any unexpected expression, so there's nothing to doubt in there. But here's another example where we find that we do doubt in the word asher, as Meloshon Ashrei, Dorash Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda, my dichtiv, you have a pasuk from Kehelas, yesh hevel asher nasa ala oretz ugemer, there is an empty thing, there's a vain thing that comes on the world, which, as the pasuk says, you have tzaddikim who undergo what Rishoyim should go, and the Rishoyim who undergo what tzaddikim should have. In other words, the old question of tzaddik v'raloi and rosh v'toivloi. So what does that mean? Again, what do you have? Asher. So he says, Yashheva Asher Nasa Oz, Asher Yesh Tzadikim, and that there are Tzadikim, etc. So therefore, so the Torah is using the word, the Pasuk is using the word Asher in connection with the Tzadikim. Ashrehem, the Tzadikim, Shemagi Alem, Kamasi Rashayim, Shalom Ababa, Alam Azeh. How fortunate are the Tzadikim who end up undergoing in this world what the Rishoyim are going to go through in Olam Haba. In other words, that they have suffering in this world of the kind that the Rishoyim, of a minute kind of how the Rishoyim are going to have in Olam Haba, because that cleans up their Averis and now they'll be able to have an uninterrupted Olam Haba. On the other hand, though, by the Rishoyim, the pasuk says v'yesh rishoyim, so it doesn't use the word asher because it's certainly not fortunate for them that they get paid off in this world, but there it actually says, V'yesh Rishoyim. So we darish in the V'yesh as if it's oi. So oi lahem the Rishoyim, and then woe to the Rishoyim. Shemagi alem to ma'aseh tzedikim shel olam haba va'olam hazeh. Woe to the Rishoyim. They get in this world a semblance of what the tzedikim are going to be getting in the next world. Meaning, in other words, they get good in this world in order to clean up this way. They get rewarded for their mitzvahs, and that way they have an uninterrupted Gehenna. So therefore, also we see that we're doubting the word asher in that sense of fortunateness. So Maharshal says, you know, the point is that first the pasuk says yashhev asher nasa la'aretz, but then it says asher yesh tzadikim. So we're doubting specifically from the asher, and then by the rishoyim we're doubting vai. So that goes with the fact that he's saying yesh hevel asher nasa aretz, and he says gamzeh hovel, also this is vanity. In other words, we're talking all ma'utish gamzeh hovel. The pasuk finishes off. Rashi on the pasuk actually wonders, so how does that fit with the drosh over here? Why would Shlomo say that that's a vain thing? That's a necessary thing for how Hashem runs the world. So Maharsha says, because that's what the Gemara said. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the Gemara is saying that all of this is referring to Hashem is giving them the vanity of this world, so therefore they don't have to lose out on Olam Haba and vice versa. Okay. So there's another example where we see that the word Asher is used in that sense. Omar Rava, but Rava says, why do we need such a drasha? Otu tzaddiki i'achli trei almi misani lahu? Why would there be anything wrong if the tzaddikim can enjoy both worlds? Why are we saying that tzaddikim are fortunate when they have yisurim in this world, implying that if they don't, then they're bad off. It's going to be deducted from the Olam Haba. Why isn't it possible they can have the best of both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba? Ela Omar Rava, so Rava says, no. Now you have to explain. The pasuk is a little different. Ashrei am tzaddikim shemagi alem k'masi rishayim shel olam hazeh ba olam hazeh. On the contrary, fortunate are the tzaddikim who get goodness, or get a tremendous amount of gashmiyistic goodness in this world of the kind that rishayim often do. That way they get the best of both worlds. Olam l'rishayim shemagi alem k'masi tzaddikim shel olam hazeh ba olam hazeh. And woe to the rishayim who receive in this world what tzaddikim often receive in Olam Hazeh, and they actually receive it in Olam Hazeh. In other words, that Shlomo is telling us that sometimes you have Sakert, you have a tzaddik who gets the best of both, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and you have a Rosh of a Raloi who gets the worst of both. So therefore, so Shlomo is saying that those are the extremes that he's talking about, the Oi and the fortunate versus the Oi. As opposed to that Shlomo should say, it's fortunate for a tzaddik to suffer in this world, not necessarily it would actually be much better off if he was able to have it good in this world as well. So the Gemara brings in this connection. Rapapa for Rav Huna Bnei Rav Yeshua, also the Kamei de Rava. Rapapa and Rav Huna Bnei Rav Yeshua one time came to learn as Talmidim by Rava. So Rava asked them, Ukimtum Masech de Plan or Masech de Plan, have you thoroughly learned and you're familiar with, you're thoroughly familiar with, such and such and such and such masechtes. You need to know if you're going to learn in Rava's yeshiva, one of the top yeshivas of those times, then you need to be thoroughly familiar with the content of this masechta, and then that way we'll be able to get into the pupil of it. So they said yes. Rava asked them, Yatritu Purta, are you a little bit rich? So now you don't have to, you have a little bit of money, so now you don't have to work for your parnasa, now you'll be able to focus on learning full time. They said yes. The Zavnan Ktina Dara, we bought a little plot of land and we have a parnasa from that. So he asked them, did you have a little bit of wealth? And they say, we have a little plot of land. The point is, Marshall says, if it was a large one, then forget it. They might be distracted with that, with managing it. And then you have, like you have in Pirkei Avos, Mabu Nechos and Mabu Da'oga, but when it's only a small piece, then we're fine. Then Yehoyada says also, the point is, Rava is saying to them that these two things go together. How is it that you have the peace of mind to be able to learn Torah so well, that often goes together with having like that, and that you were able to learn these masechtas so thoroughly is because you have this parnasa, you have this ongoing parnasa as well. Kori Alaihu, so he applied to them, he was an example where how good Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breda Vishua are, that they were able to enjoy in this world as tzaddikim the kind of goodness that Rishoyim often do, but here they're tzaddikim, and now they have the best of both, and now they'll be able to learn Torah uninterruptedly. Later on, by the way, the Gemara mentions in various places that Rav Papa eventually went into the brewing business and became rich from that, but that was later on. Further on this topic of tzaddikim and rishoyim, Amar Rav Baba Chana, Amar Rav Yechanan, my dichtiv, what does it mean a pasuk? Ki yesharim darchei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight. The tzaddikim yelchuvam, the tzaddikim go in them, ufoshim yikoshluvam, and the sinners stumble in them. We have to ask her of Shabbos Shuvah. So if there's straight roads, Marshall says, the question is, why is it saying the Poshim are stumbling on them, on those straight roads? So Rabbi Yochanan says, Moshal Shnei Bnei Adam Shetzolo Pischehem. You can picture it like two people who both roasted their korban Pesach, and now they're going to eat it. Echad ochla l'shum mitzvah, ve'echad ochla l'shum achila gasa. One of them ate it for the mitzvah, and the other one ate it as achila gasa. Rashi explains over here that achila gasa basically means he's just eating it because it tastes good, not for the mitzvah. So he's just eating it because as if he's having dessert. In other places, Rashi and this Gemara comes up in a few other places in Shas as well. Rashi and Tosfos discuss over there. It can also mean that he's full, he's over full, and he eats it anyway. Tosfos draws a distinction, by the way. If he was so full that food is nauseating, he actually wouldn't be yotz in the mitzvah at all. Here we're talking about that he's full, he's uncomfortably full, but it's not like he's nauseated by food. But still, he's not eating it in the right way. So it's the same derech. Zesha ochel l'shum mitzvah tzaddikim yochuvam. So the one who eats it for the sake of the mitzvah is the tzaddik who's walking in the ways of Hashem. Zesha ochel l'shum achila gasa. The one who eats it as achila gasa is the example of poshim yikosh l'bam. He's the sinu who stumbles in the very same way of Hashem. So that's Rabbi Yechanan. Omalei Rosh Lakish. Rosh Lakish says, wait a minute. Rosha kodesh vay. How do you call the second one a Rosha? How do you call him a pesher? Nihidul of a mitzvah and a mulcho. Sure, he's not doing the mitzvah in the best possible way. Pesach mila ka'ochel. The fact is, didn't he eat the korban pesach? He was yotz to the mitzvah, and therefore you can't call him a rosha if, after all, he did accomplish the mitzvah. So again, whether we're talking about, like Rashi says, that he ate it shaloi l'shem shemayim, he just ate it as a dessert, the fact is that he ate it for the mitzvah, or are we talking about, again, that he ate it, that he was over full, which again, you're not supposed to do, you're supposed to eat the korban pesach when you're full, but not uncomfortably so, he didn't, but nevertheless, he is still yotze the mitzvah. Ella, rather, Rosh Lakish says, you want to say the pasuk, it's talking about two people who did, then here's how you do it. Imagine you have two people. One has his wife and his sister in the house with him, and then he has relations with one of them. And the other one is the same thing. One of them ends up with his wife, so he has a beer with her, which is mutter. And the other one by accident ended up with a sister, so he did a tremendous iser. So therefore, so you have zeshin is damnal ishtay tzadikim ishtay tzadikim yochubam, the one who ended up with his wife, the tzaddik who goes in the way of Hashem. Zeshin is damnal achoyse ufoshim mikosh lubam, the one who ends up with a sister is the one who was the pesheya and he was careless and he was made to stumble. Marsha points out that you have that one of them intends to have relations with his wife. Hashem causes him to do that because tzaddikim yochubam, as opposed to the other one intended for his sister. He wouldn't have knowingly gone and had relations with her, but he had it in his mind, and therefore Hashem causes him to stumble in that. Still, the Gemara says, "Midomi, how do you compare it?" Anan kamin chodadera. The pasuk is mentioning one way, Yishorim Darchei Hashem, Tzadikim Yochuvam Ufoshim Yikoshuvam, suggesting we're talking about the same exact ways. So they did the same thing. So like in the Korban Pesach, but we said the Korban Pesach doesn't work because the fact is he did the mitzvah. But over here, it's not the same thing. Hochash Shnei Drachim, here it's two different ways. One's his wife, one's his sister, two different people. Rather, we can draw an analogy to Lot and his two daughters. So they gave him wine, they got him drunk, they had relations with him. So it's one nicer, but it depends. They were doing it for the Shem Mitzvah because they thought the whole world had been destroyed, and therefore we need to repopulate the world, even if we have to do it in this terrible way. So on them, you can say Tzadikim Yochubam. But Lot meant it for an Avera, so therefore he was the Foshim Mikosh Levon, he's the Pesheya who stumbles in it. By the way, elsewhere points out that technically Ben Noach is actually allowed to have relations with his daughter, but nevertheless, after the Mabul, they'd stay away from that. So Lot still is trying to break that. Why? Maybe Lot also had in mind for the mitzvah as well, the same mistake that the daughters were making. Maybe he thought the same thing as well. So the answer is no. We see that he was into znus because Amar Rabbi Yechon called a posik as the Shem Aveira Nema. We see a posik earlier about Lot that he was very much into znus, and therefore that we can assume now that also that he wanted this kind of thing for the sake of the Aveira. Rashi actually brings on the pasuk when a person is into znus, then eventually Hashem is going to cause it, he's going to end up in this kind of situation. So you have like this, when Lot's and Avraham's shepherds are fighting, and Avraham tells Lot, we need to separate, you need to go in one direction and I'll go in the other. So the pasuk says that Lot lifted up, the pasuk says Lot lifted up his eyes, Vayaris for Kikar Ayaudin, he saw the entire valley of the Yaudin, the Chola Mashka, that was all well watered, before Hashem had destroyed Sodom and Amorah, and he decided to settle there. Why do we need that pasuk? Why is it important for us to know that he lifted up his eyes and saw that? So we doubt in Amar Rav Yechon call a pasuk as Hashem Aveira Nema. Every phrase in that half of the pasuk is referring to Aveira. It's saying that Lot's motivated by the znus that took place in Sodom. Vayisa Lot, when it says he lifted up his eyes, we find a similar expression by Potiphar's wife. Vatisa Eshes Adonai Vaseneha. She lifted up her eyes to Yosef. S Einov, when it says his eyes, we also find by Shimshin. By Yomer Shimshin, he says to his parents, take this wife, this plishti girl for me, because she's right in my eyes. Fine, okay, he was beguiling her that I'm on the stresses. Nevertheless, the Gemara points out in Soita that still he's using his own judgment too much to go and marry this girl, when he could have instead married a regular Jewish girl rather than being beguiling a girl who, as it turned out, was a no good nick anyway. So again, the S Eino by Lot hints at this idea that he's motivated by Znus. By Yar, when it says he saw, you have the expression by Yar, it's a Shem ben Chamer, that Shem saw, that Shem saw Dina, and everything developed from there. So that's the Vayar, as Kikar Ayarden, and when it says he saw the entire valley of the Yarden, Kikar literally means a loaf, like a round loaf of bread, that puts us in mind of the pasuk Kibad Isha Zonah Tikar Lochem, which Shlomo says, because up to an Isha, for an Isha Zonah, down to a loaf of bread, in other words, a man may give away everything that he has, all the way down to his last loaf of bread, in order to be with a Zonah. So we see that a Zonah and a Kikar are associated, and when the pasuk says Kichola Mashke, when it says the entire place was well watered, we also find that expression in connection with Znus. Hashem compares, the Navi compares the Jewish people to a married woman who's being Mizana. she says, Elcha Achrei Ma'ahavaya, I will go follow my lovers, meaning the Getchkes, Noisne Lachmiyum Neimai, who she thinks are giving me my bread and my water, Tzavni Ufishni, my wool and my linen, Shamni Vishikuyai, my oil and my drinks. So the drinks, you call them mashke, b'shikoyai, same shirdash, so therefore, again, then, so therefore, so that's considered like she's committing znus for the sake of those, so the same way Loit is motivated by the znus in Tzedoyim. So therefore, so yes, he was motivated by that kind of thing, therefore we have every right to think that with his daughters also, he meant l'shem aveda, and therefore he's the potion yikosh l'vam. So the Gemara asks, well, menas honest, what do you mean? The fact that it was an honest, they got him drunk. The answer is not Tanam Shum Rabbi Yosi Bar Abchoni. It wasn't such an onus. Lomo Nokud Al Vav Sheb Kuma. Why there's a dot in the Sefer Torah over the letter Vav in the word of a Kuma? Shabachira in connection with the older daughter. Loy Malach. It tells you Shabashich Valayada. Yeah, when she lay down with him, he didn't know because he was dead drunk. Aval Bakuma Yada. But when he got up the next morning, he realized what happened. So therefore, and the next night, he still drank. So he's not completely an onus because he should have realized better. In general, the dot tells us to darshan as if the letter is missing, etc. So therefore, like it wasn't a complete not knowing. So Gemara says, still my habit, or my habit. That's the Gemara asks, my habit, little mevad. So what could he have done? It's a done deal already. My haba. And the answer is nafkamina. The lefani akrin aleibayla mishke fine. But at least the next night he should have known not to drink. And the fact that he did tells us that all along he was motivated by thoughts of znus, and therefore we can't call him a complete onus. Elsewhere, it's explained, I think Marashah says that this is a deeper one of the deeper reasons why it is that by Ammon and Moab we find the men are also to intermarry into the Jewish people, but not the women, is because we see over here that with Loit and his daughters, which is where those nations came from in the first place, you have that Loit had bad intentions where his daughters had good intentions. I think I've also told the story. I think I've also told the story before involving Moshe Feinstein and one of his balabatim, where one of them speaks very negatively against them, and then afterwards he becomes very sick and his tongue swells up, and they come and explain to him that the reason why they did it, we know, because they thought the whole world was depopulated, but why in particular one of them named her son Moav, and openly saying that's from her father, is because they wanted to inform the whole world that children always come from a human father. Nobody should ever think, like people did in later times, that you could have a human child fathered by Hashem and then base a whole religion on it, like the Christians did. So therefore, so that's a limud zchus on them, not only for what they did, but also for why they named their children the way they do. And why at least the oldest one named her child the way she did. But be that as it may, the point is that the very fact that they did such a thing, such an immoral thing with their father, they meant L'Shem Shemayim, whereas we're saying Loit meant L'Shem Znus, and therefore, so they're the Tzadikim Yochuvam, and he's the Poshim Yukosh Luvam, and again, now, therefore, that also explains the difference between the men and women of those nations. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, talking about Loit and his daughters, and more on that topic, Be'ez Hashem.